Will you pray with me? Light of the world, illumine our darkness. Spill the fire of your truth into every dim place within us and help us to burn brightly for you. Be with us in this hour and in the year to come, because if you are with us, then nothing else matters. And if you are not with us, then nothing else matters. Amen. We are so blessed in this congregation to have all sorts of gifted artists among us who are happy to share their skills and their vision. I've said this a few times over the last week, but it has really struck me across this past Advent and Christmas season that we have people who are willing to share their gifts, even when they know that the elaborate pictures they draw or the installations of flower and pottery and other images that are spread before us may be dismantled or painted over or erased or otherwise disappear from this place. It's an incredibly dynamic room, this sanctuary. And the objects around us consistently contribute to the worship that we do here. It always amazes me what gets contributed in this place by many people who don't necessarily get acknowledged or recognized for the work, for the gifts that they offer. And that gestures to a light beyond the self. From the 30th of November onwards, here, the images that surround us now of light and illumination grew and increased. We started with a service of godly play where Annie invited us to think about the light in a creative way. Among other things, she lit a candle and then she urged us all to watch as the light changed. She blew on the candle and the fire went away, but tendrils of smoke cascaded into the air. And they made us all aware of the light all around us and of the fact that the light is never extinguished, it's just changed. Also starting on that first Sunday of Advent, Pauline offered up gifts in chalk on the side wall panels, and she added to them week after week. On the one side, we have a lighthouse, excuse me, and some observed week after week that the light seemed to grow brighter each week as the fog around it withdrew and was overwhelmed by the light. On the other side, those of you who were here early in Advent, remember that we saw a single crack in the wall, and that opened gradually to a tiny gap, which gave the smallest peak at a bit of light, if we spotted it. And then that eventually gave way, the entire wall gave way to the vision that we have today of Bethlehem and the star standing over the birthplace of Jesus. And around us, the candles grew and the flowers enhanced and drew attention to the colors that were in the images. And at the front, just before the communion table, we had the Advent wreath, which Chris and Pauline also created, with the lighthouse at the center, which of course symbolizes the Christ candle. And it also gestures to the lighthouse there. All of these images in dynamic play, all of these objects, the candles, the flowers, the pictures, the Advent wreath, the things spread on the communion table, all of them bearing witness to light and these images and ideas that are central to our faith and life understanding. Things that mean one thing, but that have depth and texture and draw us to deeper understandings. This season of year is all about focusing on the light in a world bathed in darkness. Our lectionary readings underscore it, and as people of faith, we intentionally pay attention to the ways that divine light infiltrates realities that we often refer to as being dark, dreadful, difficult, tragic, woeful. I think that for most of us, it's not hard to spot the light. Here in Wheatley, Oxfordshire, we are surrounded by so many good things. I sometimes think that the light shines so brightly for us so much of the time that we may become a bit dazzled by it, a bit immobilized and desensitized because the darkness seems so remote. That's not to diminish the real struggles we all face in our individual and family lives, not at all. But it is the case that the relative wealth in our society insulates us in significant ways from forms of suffering that touch vast populations of people in this world. Unnecessary suffering that could be, can be, largely eliminated. Now, I asked a little earlier how many in this room, in this sanctuary, know of anyone who had a baby recently. And I wonder how many of us who know of someone who recently gave birth or who is about to give birth actually worried for the health of that mother and child. It's just not something we usually give much thought to, is it? I mean, Annie probably sees reasons for maternal health and these issues in her work as a midwife. But most of us just take for granted that we have plenty of immediate medical care. In the United Kingdom, 8 mothers out of every 100,000 died of pregnancy-related causes in 2013. 8 out of 100,000. There were nearly 700,000 live births in 2013. So there were about a total of 56 deaths in the UK resulting from pregnancy-related causes. In Kenya, the country that was featured in our Christian Aid appeal, 400 women per 100,000 died of pregnancy-related causes in 2013. I couldn't find the statistics for the number of births for that year, but assuming the numbers were similar to the year before, in 2012, then there were more than 1.5 million children born in Kenya, which means that 6,140 women lost their lives due to complications related to their pregnancy. To put it another way, if you were a pregnant woman in Kenya, you would have 4 chances in 1,000 of dying due to pregnancy-related complications before your baby was born. 4 in 1,000, whereas here in the UK, you would have 0.008 chances, 8 in 100,000 chances of that happening. And those figures refer to the incidence of maternal mortality. They don't refer to the number of infants that die, which is even higher. The maternal mortality rates in Somalia and South Sudan, Kenya's northerly neighbors, are twice that of Kenya's, just by way of comparison. So this is a real issue in the world, and the numbers are highest in India. Christian Aid has chosen to help with the appeal in Kenya, but there are places across the world that are in need of things that we just take for granted. It's staggering, astonishing, that these statistics exist in 2015, when we know how straightforward it is to remedy the situation. The good news, which we heard about in the videos, is that there are organizations like our United Reformed Church and Christian Aid who are raising funds to help deliver aid, light, and literally life to parts of the world where they're grappling with these kinds of realities, which would otherwise seem impenetrable. and how inspiring and gratifying that the British government has agreed to incentivize the giving in our churches by doubling, or matching, that is, by matching and effectively doubling the gifts that are given. I don't know about you, but as I watched the videos, I was particularly struck by the contrast of the images depicting life in London and those in rural Kenya, and the medical facilities that were depicted in the different countries. We have so much light here that it's perhaps too easy to take it for granted. As you heard once again, Matthew's well-rehearsed story of wise men traveling from a distant place, bearing gifts to offer the newborn Christ child, gifts whose meaning and value affirm both the child's birth and death, the sacredness of the entire earthly sojourn. Did you hear the summons to become today's wise men and wise women ourselves? To be seekers, not just seekers of the light, but bearers of light and hope and healing. To be both seekers and bearers of light. The wise men of Matthew's tale ventured forward, not assuming that they had all the answers. In fact, they demonstrated their willingness to continue learning and to be vulnerable with others by stopping to ask questions along the way. Still, their vulnerability was matched by their strength and courage. They did actively move away from what felt comfortable and familiar. They left their homes and cozy study rooms, and they stepped out in faith and hope, not knowing for certain what they'd find. Their wisdom was demonstrated in their humility, which provided them with the dignity to bow before an infant, confident that he was worthy of the journey and their gifts. Indeed, he was worthy of their very worship. On the fourth day of this new year, our faith, our scriptures, and everything surrounding us in this place here this morning, they all invite us to embrace and share the light of the world. Let's face it, 2014 was a tough year for the world, one that witnessed the forces of darkness holding court, instilling fear, hostility, and distress into the lives of so many, simultaneously draining them of hope and love and peace. Some of us, or people we know, were among those upon whom the forces of darkness held sway. But 2014 is not the end of the story. And God is still at work, declaring to all the world and to you and me, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." According to Matthew, the Magi respected not only the knowledge and scholarship of others in their pursuit of understanding, but also their own thoughts and dreams. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their home by another route. What are your dreams, our dreams, God's dreams for us in the year that's unfolding, I wonder? How will we stretch and be stretched beyond our current stations to make connections we could not have seen before? To infuse light and hope and life where it was not previously visible. 2015 may not be easier or more pleasant on a global scale than last year was. We don't know yet. There is much need, and the social night times can feel confusing and threatening. But you and I we continue to bear witness to the truth and meaning of Matthew's story. We are as the wise men were, sojourners seeking to follow and comprehend and point to the light, offering up the finest gifts we can to honor the one we seek, worshiping the Word made flesh, love incarnate, in all its power and glory, vulnerable as an infant, yet stronger than death itself. If each of us does our part, asks our questions, shares our truth, withholds nothing of value in our holy quest, then the light of the world will shine, and we will be part of the blazing. May Jesus Christ continue to guide our path, inform our lives, and reach out to the world with hope, faith, and love through you and me in the year to come. Amen.